prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning, Truth Revolution. I am Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff.
I hope you're having a great morning this morning, because this morning we are going to disprove Christianity.
Really?
Well, wait.
That's what you said last week.
What's our show supposed to be about?
Proving Christianity.
Oh, man, I prepared the wrong argument.
You did.
No, we have found a website called Christianity Disproved, and they say that they will disprove Christianity, quote, beyond a reasonable doubt.
Wow. I mean, beyond a reasonable doubt. That's not just beyond a doubt. It's just beyond a reasonable doubt.
Wow. Here are some of the comments from Facebook users who have gone to the site Christianity Disproved. One of the most intelligent and worthwhile sites on the internet.
Wow. This one says, this has to be one of the best informative pages devoted to education. Excuse me, to educating people about this religion.
Another one says, logical, reasonable, and comprehensive. Well done, and thank you. This should be taught in every school on earth.
Wow.
I mean, with such accolades, how could I not resist?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that definitely builds it up.
So we are going to go through this site point by point.
Right on.
We're going to look. They make six main points of contention.
So we may only have half a show today then, right?
We may need to continue this into another week.
No, what I'm saying is, I mean, after 15 minutes, once we disprove Christianity, why do it anymore?
That's true. If we disprove Christianity in the first, you know, 10 or 15 minutes, we just won't do the rest of the show.
All right, we'll just pack it in.
We'll just play some Yanni music or something.
And go take in a round of golf.
That's right. So, but provided we can answer their questions, we will continue, and this may even go into 2 weeks.
Okay.
Or we may have extra online content. See, the problem with Dave and me is we never know how long the show is going to be.
Well, we know how long the show is going to be when it's live.
Right. We just never know how long we're going to give extra information for afterwards.
So we can split it up, or we could actually go online. And
I'm just going to stop talking right now and get into this because we don't have the time.
We're running out of time.
They make six main points of contention. Science, the brain, God, Bible, Jesus, and hell. These are the six main places that they say you can disprove Christianity.
So basically you're saying that the last four of those arguments are all things that deal with Christianity that they prove themselves wrong.
We'll see when we get there.
Okay.
The first problem they have is science. They say science disproves Christianity. And they make a logical argument.
Okay.
Dave, would you be willing to go over this logical argument? It's 1, 2, 3. This is a modus ponens argument here.
Okay. Here we go. This is their logical argument from science. Number one, if the Bible is 100% factually accurate, then the universe is not billions of years old. Number two, the universe is billions of years old, so therefore, number three, the Bible is not 100% factually accurate.
This is a valid argument.
It is.
But it's not sound.
It is not.
If you're a philosopher, you know valid means if all the information in here is true, and if we agree with each line of their premises, then this would be true. This would be sound.
Right.
Because the way they framed it is valid. So we have to ask, is number one true? Is number two true? And are they using the right definitions and all that?
Right.
My first point is this. They say, if the Bible is accurate, then the universe is not billions of years old. I believe the universe is billions of years old.
We've discussed this already.
We discussed this like 3 weeks ago in one of our shows on Sunday morning. There are a lot of Christians who believe the universe is young, and that is fine. They can believe that. Please don't be angry at us. Right. But we believe the universe is very, very old, billions of years old. So when he says, if the Bible is factually accurate, then the universe is not billions of years old. I disagree. I disagree with point number one.
Right. When we went through this, and you can go back to you can go to truthrevolution.tv and listen to the show from a couple weeks ago
about why we think the Bible teaches the universe could be old. I mean, it mainly comes down to we don't think that Genesis was trying. We don't think that God was trying to give us a timeline in Genesis.
Right.
But so we just. I mean, his whole logical argument just blown out of the water right there already.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just continue to interact. My point number two, some Christians disagree with line number two, that the universe is billions of years old. Some Christians are young earthers, and that's okay. I don't, but I think at the very least, we should admit that science is always having an ongoing conversation with the data.
Right.
Okay. I don't think the universe is young, but I think it's ridiculous for us to say, to throw out an entire religion because of one current scientific interpretation seems to possibly make that unreasonable.
Right.
You know, to say, oh, Christianity's untrue because right now the science thinks the universe is billions of years old. Science is always having an ongoing conversation with the data.
Right. If science is true and Christianity is true, then there has to be a point at which the two do meet.
Right. But he's saying Christianity's not true, and that's right. why they don't meet. And I'm saying, well, maybe it's the science that isn't true. Maybe your interpretation of the data is not accurate.
That may be.
I mean, I think it is, but maybe it's not. You know, what if people 1,000 years ago said, well, the Bible says the stars in the sky are uncountable, but we've counted them. So we've proved the Bible wrong.
Right.
Well, yes, yeah, science would have proved the Bible wrong then until we got the Hubble telescope and realized we have no idea how many stars
exactly.
there are.
Yeah.
So that's my point number two. You know, science is constantly having an ongoing conversation with the data, and you mm-hmm. can't just throw out an entire religion because of a current interpretation.
Right.
But my point number three. Even if he was right that the Bible is not 100% factually accurate, it does not follow that Christianity is false. That's his goal, right? Christianity is disproved.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Genesis was wrong about the age of the universe, we still have predictive prophecy, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and all the other evidence to contend with.
Right.
I mean, we can't just throw out Christianity. Even if you did find something wrong right. with the Bible, but I don't think you're going to, but even if you did.
Right. On the basis of one argument.
Right.
Done.
And then my point number four. Again, I believe the universe is billions of years old, so I totally disagree with this
That's
first point.
Cheating. That's not your fourth point. That's your first point just over here.
Yeah, I just liked it, so I wanted to say it again.
Okay.
Okay. Now, his second, that was science. He said, you have to disprove Christianity because of science because of that. So
All right. Well, we'll mark that one off the list.
Gone. His next one is about the brain.
Ooh.
And his main point here is that the brain produces something. It produces emotions.
Yes, it does.
He says, quote, religious experience is a natural product of the brain. What do you think he means by that?
I think what he is saying is that we react to stimulus emotionally, and so we get emotional, mm-hmm. and we feel good about the things that are being said in the Bible, and therefore we interpret that feel good to being, it's true.
Right, and he actually is trying to say, this is merely your brain that causes these religious experiences.
Hmm.
Now, he has this quote, when a Carmelite nun prays to God, there is significant neural activity in the right medial orbital frontal cortex, right middle temporal cortex, right inferior and superior parietal lobes. When a Christian speaks in tongues, there is a decreased amount of activity in the prefrontal cortices. Since the frontal lobes are utilized for attention-focusing tasks, a decrease in neural activity leads a glossolalia practitioner to feel like they have less control over their actions.
Say that again in English, please.
In other words, when they've actually measured and when we have religious experiences, chemicals and pathways and electricity in our brain changes.
Right. Okay.
So your brain is actually doing stuff. But not only that, he says and shows, he's brought a YouTube clip in here that we're going to play part of. And he says that we can reproduce religious experiences in the laboratory.
Wow.
Check this out.
In the laboratory, we have reproduced every aspect of the God experience, every essence, every component of it, from the rising sensation to the feelings of ecstasy, to the feelings of a sensed presence, to the feelings that you're at one with the universe. We can do that experimentally.
Was that God speaking? Or was that Professor Persinger just flipping a few switches?
We can generate the sensed presence, which is defined as God.
Now, this was a long, long clip.
Mm-hmm.
We just took a few quotes out of it.
Right.
But their point was they actually did produce religious feelings and emotions mm-hmm. in people experiences by subjecting them to certain stimuli right. in the
Basically
laboratory.
Playing with the brain.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so what this guy's argument is, we can produce religious experiences by messing with the brain. Therefore, religion is false.
I can't make that leap.
Well, I can't make that leap either. And that's part of what we're going to talk about in our second response. But my first response is this. Everybody needs to go to our show from June 23rd, 2013. This doesn't disprove the soul or religious experiences at all. If it's absolutely true, which I think it probably is true, that they can produce these feelings of religious experience in the laboratory, that means nothing to us. Christians don't believe that the body and soul are intrinsically unlinked.
Right.
We think the body and the soul are linked.
Amen.
When the soul leaves the body and is present with God, that is unnatural. I mean, that's not how God made us to be.
Right.
Our natural state is to have a body-soul unity. So there is no reason to believe that the fact that they could potentially interact or even artificially create a spiritual experience, I mean, that's simply not a problem for Christians.
Right. Well, you know, you can also artificially make me taste Pepsi, but that doesn't mean that Pepsi doesn't exist.
Dude, that's a really good analogy. Just because you can artificially create something in our brains doesn't mean it doesn't exist in the real world. Of course, our brains are linked to our senses and our spirit and our souls.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to think it's not. Philippians 3:21 actually tells the Christian what our ultimate goal is. He will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And that's talking about Jesus. I mean, Jesus had a real physical body when he rose from the dead.
Yes.
That's our ultimate goal. Real physical bodies. Right. Just,
if his body was not physical, he would not have asked Thomas to touch his body.
That's right.
In his hands and on his side.
And so that's our goal. It's a real physical body. We have spiritual bodies. Our soul is linked to our body, period. So if our brain can affect our soul, we have no problem with that,
right?
I mean, I'm pretty sure Christians were the first ones to suggest that your body and soul can affect each other.
Right.
I mean, that's Adam and Eve in the garden right there. His body ate a fruit and that affected his soul.
Yep.
I mean, that's
wow.
Kind of duh.
Yeah.
All right. Now, our second response is, even if religious experience was a product of the brain, Jesus' resurrection from the dead wasn't a personal religious feeling.
Amen.
And prophets correctly prophesying hundreds of years in advance is not an emotion.
Nope, that's totally fact.
Total fact. We're basing our religion on fact and truth. So, you know, his first point was science. We showed that that's not incongruent with the religion. His second point was the brain, and we've shown there's no problem there. His third point to disprove Christianity is God.
He's putting God on the stand and God's going to testify against himself, is what he's saying.
Dun, dun, dun! Okay. So, as Christopher Hitchens correctly observed, this writer says, there is a profound chasm between deism and theism.
Okay.
Now, just to give us a quick definition here, deism is far away God.
Right.
He created, he wound it up, and he lets it go. And he's watching from afar. Maybe he's not even watching. He created, he did all this stuff, and then he's absent.
No effect on us whatsoever.
Yeah, or very, very little effect.
Right.
Yeah. Theism is the belief that there is a God who's interacting with us on a regular basis. Okay? So he says, there's a very big difference between deism and theism. The cosmological argument, the Kalam cosmological argument, the teleological design argument, and the ontological argument, which I might add, we've all talked about all of those on the show.
Right.
Merely take you to the deist side of the chasm.
Really?
In order to leap from the chasm from deism to theism, from deism to Christianity, you need to establish that Yahweh was not merely the natural evolution of Canaanite polytheism, and more importantly, rationalize how an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-good God is compatible with the pointless animal suffering.
Wow.
Now,
got our work cut out for us.
Yeah, this... And if that quote was a little too much for you to handle, we're gonna hit back on that and explain
it.
We're gonna break it down because I think he makes a good point here.
Yes,
he does make a really good point. Hey, Revolution Church, 10:15 this morning. That's where we're from. I'm the preacher there. Dave's the bass player there, and the board member. So we want to invite you to come on out, man.
Yeah, it's a great time.
We love to learn about God. We love to preach about Jesus, and we do it with each other with mercy. We don't judge people there. We judge ourselves first, because I'm not going to look at a speck of dust in your eye if I got a plank in mine.
Right.
So come on out, Revolution Church, 10:15 every Sunday morning, salina-revolution.com.
You're invited to Revolution Church this Sunday. don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning, just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, salinarevolution.com. www.salinarevolution.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Apologetics is the art and science of defending Christianity.
The name itself, apologetics, comes from the Greek word apologia, which means to give a defense.
Defense often implies some kind of military strategy or quarrel to our American minds. This is not the case here.
When we say defense, we merely mean demonstrating the truth of a proposition, in this case, the Christian faith, and being able to respond with a truthful, compelling answer to show the rationale for Christianity.
Generally, apologetics has a defensive posture, but because so many objections have been raised to nearly every aspect of the faith, sometimes apologetics goes on the offensive.
Sometimes we'll give not just answers to questions, but our own arguments to demonstrate that the fundamental pieces of Christianity, God, the Bible, and Jesus, are based in reality.
If you have ever wanted to know whether or not the Christian faith is real, Christian apologetics is definitely for you.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same: to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we are back. And we are talking about how we can disprove Christianity.
We've disproved Christianity?
Mm-hmm.
Not quite. We thought maybe we were going to get to disprove Christianity, but so far we've been able to answer all the problems.
Right. We're still here.
So we haven't quit yet.
Yeah. Check out truthrevolution.tv real quick while we're thinking about it.
Old shows.
Mm-hmm. Check out old shows. You can listen to Truth Shots, 60 seconds of truth. Sorry. 3 days a week.
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I would like to encourage you to treat truthrevolution.tv as a resource.
Oh, definitely.
I was looking on there the other day at how much content we have now. I mean, we've been putting up different topics every week from every Sunday for a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been on air for almost 2 years.
Right.
We've been putting our shows up almost that long.
Right.
And here, we've been putting up different topics Monday, Wednesday, and Friday every single week for a long time. We have tons and tons of topics on there for you to research and find information about.
Amen.
So just check it out, truthrevolution.tv. Now, this guy was pointing out that all our arguments for God, cosmological argument, teleological argument, whatever, merely prove that God's a deistic God.
Right. Meaning God is far away and has nothing really to do with us.
And, I would agree with him. I think he makes a good point there, that these arguments for God's existence that we talk about only point to a deistic, maybe a theistic God, but it doesn't prove it.
Right. It just proves God. It doesn't actually really say whether it's deistic or theistic,
right,
but you can just assume it's deistic.
Now, what I find interesting is that, are these people admitting to the existence of God?
Wait a minute.
Because they haven't argued against these arguments.
I think they are.
I mean, it seems like they must be admitting that God exists, right, which I find interesting. I would like to know that. Because they obviously know these five different arguments for God's existence, but they don't argue against them on the website. So maybe they believe a deistic God exists. I don't know. But I do think we need to show that a Christian God exists, and that we do that with the resurrection, prophecy, and Bible accuracy, which he doesn't argue against any of these on the website. Well, he does Bible accuracy a little bit, which we'll get to. But he said, quote, "You need to establish that Yahweh, God, was not merely the natural evolution of Canaanite polytheism."
Yeah, see, that's getting kind of out of my realm, so I'm just going to...
What he's saying is, they had Canaanite religions, this other religion, long, long, long time ago. They worship many gods.
Yes.
And he's saying that the Jewish monotheism, worship of one God, evolved out of that. That there was polytheism, and eventually the belief in one God came.
Right.
Now, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, I mean...
We talk about Ebla tablets, we talk about all sorts of other stuff to show why we think monotheism came first. But even, I'm not even going to talk about that right now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. So,
because even if it did evolve, even if monotheism came after polytheism in our history, from what we've recorded, what we know right now, it does not follow that Jewish monotheism isn't true.
Right.
Our current understanding of physics is merely a natural evolution of science. Does that mean it's incorrect?
It is totally incorrect because we're building upon what they knew before.
You said totally incorrect.
I know.
Oh, come on.
Well, you know that, but basically what we're saying is that they're both the same type of thing because science is built upon science before it when we didn't know stuff, when we thought the earth was flat and stuff. You know, that doesn't make science today incorrect.
Just because knowledge evolves doesn't mean your current knowledge is false.
Right.
And that's what he's suggesting. He's saying, he is saying, well, there was polytheistic religions and eventually the Jewish religion came to be, so it's obviously false. Well, no. Just because the Jewish religion came after some Canaanite religions doesn't mean it's false. Let's say there was a religion and it evolved into a different understanding of who God was. Does that mean this new religion's wrong? No. The question is, did their change take them closer to or further away from the truth?
Right.
That's the question. It proves nothing. So his problem here has proved nothing. It's just an interesting discussion.
Right.
Did Jews believe in a monotheistic God? Did before Canaanites believed in polytheism? I don't know. That's a good discussion for the archaeologists to have.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. The real question is which one is correct.
Right, and we've discussed what came first, the chicken or the egg type thing,
right?
In past shows,
and we think monotheism was first.
Yes, I think so. Go to truthrevolution.tv. You can find all that stuff.
He also brings up the point about existence of evil, but we're not going to answer that right now. We've done multiple shows on it. You just need to check the website.
Right.
All right, we're going to talk about the Bible. He says, "Quotes." Professor Bart Ehrman sets the scene for us. The Bible is filled with discrepancies, many of them irreconcilable contradictions.
And we laugh at this.
So his problem with the Bible, he's disproving Christianity because there are such a thing as Bible contradictions.
Bible contradictions.
Say it as it's so.
I don't think he listens to our show.
I am willing to bet 100% unequivocally that he does not. So, all right. We're doing a Bible contradiction right now. All right. This is from evilbible.com. The blood shedder must die.
Ooh.
The person who sheds blood must die. Versus, the blood shedder must not die. The person who sheds blood must not die. All right. Genesis 9, 5, and 6 says, And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting for every animal and from each human being, too. I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. And basically, whoever sheds human blood, by human hands, their blood shall be shed.
And where was that from?
Genesis 9, 5, and 6.
Okay.
However,
why was he so angry there?
I don't know. They don't say. But Genesis 4:15, when talking about Cain and Abel, when Cain had killed Abel, the Lord said to him, anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over.
Okay.
Then the Lord put the mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him, basically saying, the one who shed blood must not die.
Okay. So why don't you tell me what his problem here is?
His problem is that in Genesis 9, it was saying, the person who sheds another human's blood must die. But when speaking of Cain, after he killed Abel, Cain must not die. No one must kill him.
Yeah. Okay, I'd like to point out something that should be rather obvious. And this is, okay, in our cracked acronym, this is C for context.
Okay.
And also, you have to give some credit where credit is due. The second C, C-R-A-C, that's credit. Give the Bible some credit. It's not so stupid as to contradict itself so easily.
Right.
Give the Bible some credit here. Genesis 4, God spares Cain from his punishment for murder.
Right.
Genesis 9, he gives the command that people must die if they murder.
Right.
Was God contradicting himself? He hadn't even given the command yet when he spared Cain. Like, give me a break. That's Genesis 4. He doesn't give the command until Genesis 9. Plus, even besides that, this is God's rule.
Right.
He can have mercy if he chooses to have mercy. I have rules in my house. No eating cookies before dinner. But if I so choose, I can give my child a cookie. It's my rule.
Right.
So that's...
that kind of simplifies it.
That's the answer for a Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
Well, you know, I noticed when I was putting the Bible contradiction together today that he had Genesis 4 after Genesis 9. And I was like... That's kind of weird.
It's kind of weird.
But he did it to kind of prove his own point.
Okay, so this guy trying to disprove Christianity says the Bible's a problem because there's contradictions all over the place.
Right.
We do a Bible contradiction every single week. We've answered over 100 Bible contradictions.
Mm-hmm.
He takes aim with, who really authored these books? Well, authors are generally confirmed pretty easily, but it's not always even necessary.
Right.
As if as if not knowing the author of a book would mean God doesn't exist. That's kind of a ridiculous leap of logic.
Right.
Or to say, well, there's a couple books in the Bible, we're not quite sure who wrote them. Oh, Christianity must be false altogether.
Right.
That's just a false leap of logic.
You know, it's like reading something that is true. Okay, somebody once wrote that the sky, when seen through our atmosphere, is blue.
Yeah.
But I don't know who wrote that. So that must not be true.
I don't know who said it. It can't be true. Yeah. I mean, that's obviously a dumb point.
Right.
He just makes a leap of logic that's irreconcilable with rationality. But then he says, quote, "We have no original copies of the Bible. The oldest gospel in our possession is a fragment of John. It was written around 125, nearly 100 years after the death of Jesus." And my response is that I somewhat agree with his timing. Uh-huh. He's actually being generous. You know, I was going to say that piece was written around 130. He said it was written around 125. Now, he says that was 100 years after Jesus. Well, not quite. But the important thing to know is that was only 40 years after it was written.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. We are 2,000 years out, and we have a writing from within 40 years of when it was originally written.
Right.
That is really, really, really good.
It's really good. We've done...
He's kind of misrepresenting what's important here. Mm-hmm. And the important thing is we have a writing that's very, very close. He makes it sound like it's far away, and it's not.
Well, and not only that, we've talked about before about the other books that
comparison
are,
literature.
Yeah, comparison literature. And people take those books and say, these are correct.
Yeah, Homer's Iliad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was written in 800 BC, the earliest copy we have of that is from 400 BC.
Right.
I mean, the time gap there is 400 years.
Right.
There's only 1,757 manuscripts of Homer's Iliad.
Mm-hmm.
We have 5,795
right.
of the New Testament. And Homer's Iliad is way better than any other ancient document.
Right.
I mean, the Bible has way, way more.
Right. It's totally a double standard.
Totally is a double standard.
And you need to throw it out just on those grounds.
So, all right, we got to finish a couple things here. We're going to finish these next week.
Okay.
We got two more ways to disprove Christianity, Jesus and hell. We're going to talk about those next week, so don't miss it. TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church starts at 10:15 every Sunday morning. You can find us online, slinerevolution.com, or you can jump on there from the Truth Revolution regular show site,
right,
TruthRevolution.tv. I'm a little confused. It's probably a good thing the show's over right now for today. Jump on the website Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Get truth shots. Donate, listen to the old shows, and research. Love you guys. Thanks for listening. See you next week.